The intentions are good, but the advice is, let's say, mediocre. We'll talk about shadow advisors and their impact on your financial future. You're listening to In the Moment. I'm your host, Lori Walsh. Even if you hire a financial advisor and trust them, other forces, friends, media reports, overheard conversations, and AI all influence your financial decisions. Wealth advisor Rick Kaler says shining a light on all the advisors can help turn those good intentions into good investments. Rick Kaler is an international expert in financial therapy. I connected with him from Rapid City.
I was speaking to the Collaborative Divorce Association of Texas, and one of the presenters had a whole session on shadow advisors. Her name is Cynthia Barlea Graham. She's an attorney in Texas. Mm-hmm. It's one of those things that this happens all the time. I've had these experiences my whole life with clients, but I never had a term for it. Mm-hmm. Shadow advisor. You and I talk, we talk about, when you need a consultation, when you need advice, here's who to turn to. What we've never talked to are the advisors we turn to without maybe even thinking of them as advisors. And those are the shadow advisors.
You're buying a house and your dad wants to walk through to look at the foundation. He becomes a shadow advisor, but you might think of him as just your dad.
Exactly. I may think of, my advisor in this case is my buyer's broker, my agent, or my attorney, or my accountant. What I don't think of are all the people that I'm talking to, my dad, friends at the gym, friends at work, that are giving me advice and input. The flip side of this coin is that your paid advisors, because shadow advisors are usually not paid, your paid advisors are not aware of the shadow advisors.
Right. Hence the word shadow. So your realtor might not know what your dad is telling you about home buying. I would expect real estate agents deal with this all the time.
Yes.
But financial advisors might not think about it because we don't always talk to our dad about money, or we don't always talk to our coworkers or our friends at the gym about investments. So it might be even harder, I'm guessing, to realize that they are at work. How do you see it show up in a client relationship?
You'll get a text suggesting or questioning something, and the verbiage is very different from the client.
Sure.
Like, wow, where did this come from? Or the client all of a sudden takes on all sorts of very technical language when that's not their style. It can show up like, I've heard XYZ stock is about to split, and I'm thinking maybe we should be looking at that. Or I've heard crypto is a great investment. Now, that heard may have been I've read, and that heard may be a guy or lady in the gym was talking about crypto and all the money they made. This was a big gym discussion back when a BlackBerry, GameStop, big crazes. There was a lot of talk about that. Usually when something like that's being talked about in the gym, it's a good sign. It's at its peak.
Okay, good to know.
I remember my wife came home from play practice one night. It was March of, I want to say 2000. And she says, "Do we own any Cisco?" I said, "Why are you asking that?" "Oh, because the actors are all saying it's really great stock. We need to have some." And I made that mental connection right then. I'll bet it's at a peak. Yeah. And it was.
To this idea, though, of, maybe you read it. You read it in the Wall Street Journal, or you heard it at the gym. But there's another level when it's someone that you trust, right? So these shadow advisors you say in your column can often have an outsized influence on you because you have a trusting relationship with someone, but they might not know anything about your situation. They certainly don't have your full financial picture.
That would be true. And you're exactly right. The deeper the trust, the more credible that advisor is. And a lot of advisors in this case know just enough to be dangerous. And that's not that they have ill intent. They have quite the opposite. You know, they want to be helpful. They want to look out, and they're looking out for you through their life experience, through their lens, through their projection onto what's happening, which may not be accurate for you. And they can be very passionate because of their care. Well, you don't want to do that. And that can be quite a force to contend with if you are the advisor.
How often are people, those shadow advisors, bringing in their life experience? Partially, what I'm getting at here is what's the money belief that they're functioning under? I'm assuming it has something to do with, I wish somebody had warned me before I made that financial misstep. I really have to warn you so the same thing doesn't happen to you, and therefore it could have been prevented. If only I had known.
Totally. I mean, that is totally a part of it. The circumstances may not exactly be the same, but that person's money scripts and their financial trauma or trauma are operating, are in full force. And so somebody may say, the worst thing you could ever do is buy a house. Let me tell you what happened to me, and go through the list of whatever that was. And that's very real to that person. And that is projected onto the person that they're trying to help without a full knowledge of the facts. Maybe not without a full knowledge of how deep their fear is and how unprocessed their fear is around that event that they can't even see or hear. The reality of how this is different, even from their friend, because they're so much in that experience and being triggered.
So we'll put a link up to your column on our website at stpb.org/in the moment. But I think it's important to tell people now that you're not saying don't listen to the people who love you and want what's best for you. You're saying, hey, let's talk about it. Let's bring this advice out of the shadows. Tell me about that.
I thought that was a brilliant suggestion. It's let's bring everybody to the table. Once we know all the parties involved, let's bring them all in and talk to this. And I think that that is brilliant. I mean, I've done that without knowing I'm doing like, oh, okay, how about bring your kids in? That's one we see all the time with elderly parents. Are the kids being really suspicious of us when they find out, you know, all financial advisors, they're only out for your money and high fees and to rip you off and da 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 da. And so in that case, we're like, well, are you okay with having a meeting where the kids come in and we can meet them and explain to them what's going on? And I think it's brilliant on the part of the advisor to get all the people at the table. It's the same thing. Anytime you have a decision being made, say the most popular is between spouses. If it's a joint decision, you want both decision makers at the table. And that's just good sales, right? You want both decision makers there because you don't want one to say, well, I got to go home and check with so and so. So, but that's in a sales context. But it's still a brilliant to know who you're dealing with and then have a meeting of the minds. Because I'm thinking that there's a Bible verse that says, in a multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. And that is true if you can discern and suss out the wisdom. That doesn't mean you believe every one of them.
What might some of the money beliefs that we have that we bring to the table, I can't do something different than my father did or than my friends at the gym are doing. if we overhear something, read something, but just from the personal relationships, whether they're casual personal relationships or really trusting personal relationships, what are we telling ourselves if we feel that person is protecting us from our financial planner?
Yeah, you can have a lot of a cognitive bias of herding or herd mentality. Well, everybody at the gym is saying this is really a bad idea. And it does put in that little bit of a question mark, because it can be now it's me against them, so to speak, in this collective wisdom. And what do they know that I don't know? What do they know that my financial advisor doesn't know? So it can create doubt fairly easily, especially as we've talked about, the deeper the trust is in those advisors, the more it is.
We're afraid of being wrong. We're afraid of messing up too, of losing.
Afraid of being failures, fear of rejection, of course, from those folks. Afraid of not being part, you know, our need for belonging. I'm not going to belong anymore if I go down that road. I'm going to hear that I told you so. Definitely all of those play into this emotionally, into this very emotional decision.
Now, increasingly, people are building trust-based relationships with their AI tools, and they're getting used to asking AI to do certain tasks for them as they build confidence in the tools and their ability to use them. I'm guessing artificial intelligence will continue to be a shadow advisor. How are we to process what you heard on the internet, what you heard versus what you read on the internet, plus, hey, I have a relationship with this device that has helped me sort through some problems at work. Why wouldn't it help me do my financial planning?
It'll probably become the number one shadow advisor. And the issue is that the internet has now gotten smarter, right? I told somebody, I think AI may be right 90% of the time, but that 10%, if you got on an airplane and said, well, there's a 90% chance we'll land, are you going to get on that airplane?
No, sir, I'm not.
And I can't tell you how I use AI a lot. I use it for research. And I can't tell you how many times it will come back with one thing. It attributed me to writing a book I didn't write. If I didn't know, I would accept that as truth. Fortunately, I'm researching stuff I generally know. I just want it to go out and save me an hour of going through stuff. And so that's pretty scary. And you know, I think the way to do this, I guess I do this with my physicians, because I'll research medical stuff, but I'll let them know. I said, listen, I've been talking to Dr. Claude, and here's the evidence. You can even give a link.
Sure.
And say, this is what I have found. So you yourself are bringing the shadow advisor out of the shadows. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a way to have an informed discussion. I'm sure there's some advisors that feel threatened, that don't want you doing that, or will immediately discount or minimize if you've done that research. I think your best advisor is going to go, oh, thanks. Let's review that together. Yep. All that fits. That's right. Here's one thing that doesn't fit for your case.
Because the AI tool does not have a complete picture of your financial story from start to finish.
Exactly. And do you want to tell it all of your financial story?
I do not, sir. That's my personal decision. I'm not.
Now, the way it's going, we're going to have personalized AI. It's out there. Companies are now having AI bots that just run internally on their own data.
Right.
So someday we will have, I talked to somebody yesterday that pays $1,500 a month for an internal AI, and you can tell it everything because it's running on your servers. So that's coming. Definitely is coming. And I think you want a financial advisor or therapist, professional of any type, that is open and not threatened to that. Because what does that mean if my client comes to me and has done the research you've done? It means they're engaged.
Yeah.
It means they're curious. And I have always operated under the assumption the more my client knows, the better. Now, some are the other way because, well, if my client knows everything they need to know, they don't need me. So I need them not to know. But if from my perspective, the more a person knows, the more we can partner, the more we can collaborate, the more we can be thought partners and come up with solutions. And that also means my client's engaged, right? And we've talked about the stages of change. They're in the stage of preparation when they're doing that, and that the chances of them actually changing, which comes from within, that's an inside job when they're engaged and they're researching, go up. I think that it's a really good thing to present that, and you want to work with a professional that says, hey, great. Thanks for doing the work. Let's see what it says. Maybe I'll learn something new here.
Rick Kaler has written several books on financial therapy. You can find more about him and his columns at kalerfinancial.com. I'll also put a link up on our website, sdpb.org/inthemoment. And that is our conversation for today. We hope that it served you from all of us here at SDPB. I'm Lori Walsh. Thank you for listening.